Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm, business on all the major continents, helping me understand the AI revolution. That is what it appears to be because the data centers right now are what we can see of AI. Chris, a very good evening to you. Anecdote from the field. There are two data centers under construction in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I've been following their progress very closely since they bought the land that previously had a book publisher, a very famous book publisher. All that business moved overseas. So they're building quickly with cranes up and working 24-hour shifts to get it up as fast as possible. Two of them, the first one under construction, water, power, workforce, everything in place. A neighboring county, York County, is said now to see its neighbors doing very well with this new technology and is now negotiating with a golf course to give up its land in the county in order to build data centers. Corresponding data centers across Pennsylvania are described by Governor Shapiro as the data center state of the union. Now, there are other data centers building in Virginia. I know the Washington Post has 600. All of this is happening very quickly. What are they racing for? Are they overbuilding? Is this strip malls in America? We'll get the franchises later, or is there business for them? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. At the moment, it's a rush to build as much infrastructure capacity at the 1 gigawatt or better data center space for artificial intelligence and advanced AI. Is it overbuilding? Unknown. Only time will tell. But the number of new applications coming up, the number of new uses seems to be quite broad. So it may not be an overbuild, but tech does tend to go towards bubbles at times. Is this a bubble yet? Don't know. Only time will tell.
Energy is the choke point. Access to energy. I note that there is a firm said to be presenting the possibility of building small modular reactors to provide power for data centers, a firm associated with Mr. Altman of OpenChatGPT, and it has investors pouring in great amount of capital flowing to a company that has not built anything, might not build anything, and the small modular reactors, while proposed, are not yet understood to be solved. Sodium reactors, a lot of talk about technology. However, this is part of the AI story. They need energy. Is that what we're going to see, a push? Because it's the choke point, we're going to see a push for access to energy, and there'll be a conflict with the public because prices will rise.
Without question, John, in summer of 2026, I think there's high probability you'll start to see the first points of real conflict between the draw for data centers versus the draw for normal consumers, both in terms of price and availability. The question is whether the general public would be willing to take a rolling blackout because the AI on your Roomba needs more compute power. So there's a fine line there. Clearly, there's lots of work being done on bringing additional base load power to the system, but not enough time based on the demand and what's coming. So there certainly could be conflict in those areas.
You have contacts on all the continents. Is there demand that is not being met now, or is this aspirational demand?
Absolutely demand that's not being met. You see in a number of the more advanced models that are coming into everyday use in legal, in business, in creative, the desire to bring more capacity online faster than they can build today. So there's definitely application-level demand for it.
The Wall Street Journal features a story about the people working on building these large language models chiefly in Silicon Valley, but really they could work from anywhere. And that the ones who are the best paid are working, the Wall Street Journal says, 100-hour weeks. What are they doing? What requires them to be? Well, their boasting is we're 9-9-6, meaning 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., 6 days a week. There's another boast that says 0-0-2, in other words, midnight to midnight, 2 hours off on the weekends. What are they up to? What is the race?
So, John, the evolution of models, the evolution of a number of kind of the key components within the systems is running at a breakneck pace today. Everyone is racing for the efficiency of the models, the next newest greatest thing. In many cases, there are now hundreds of startups on AI in the U.S. That are all competing. 3% of those companies might be successful, but the wins are so very large. You see especially founders and core teams going completely for it to make sure that they're trying to get their models, get their business cases, get their learning models working in the best way to grab that opportunity. Think of it very much like the gold rush in 1849 in California. You're going after a prize that if others get there first, may be gone.
So what we're looking at here is a fever. That makes sense. The question is, does the fever get to be a bubble? That's always the talk on Wall Street. Or is it meeting needs that we know are coming? I don't have a timeline on this, but I do puzzle because there seems to be a profound difference between the way the U.S. is approaching this story and China only, not all of Asia, China only, and the way Europe is approaching it. Is that correct? Are there different points of view from those three players, China, U.S., and Europe?
Absolutely. It's a two-horse race between the U.S. and China. That is not a race that will be won or declared victory by one versus the other. Over the course of the next 3, 5, 7, 10 years, you'll see back and forth. I think the U.S. is in a clear position to be able to be ahead of China by maybe 1 to 2 years, such that we keep the focus on development, on the capital, the infrastructure. Europe is a non-factor. Most of the top engineers and talent that would be applied to this space come to the United States specifically for the opportunity. Europe is generally sitting this one out. There's a occurrence here, occurrence there of governmental funding towards data centers and advanced AI. But I would say quite easily, Elon Musk as an individual is out competing all of Europe singularly, not counting all the other developments happening across the U.S.
Is that purposeful? Has Europe decided this is tulips or South Sea Islands and is going to sit it out because the Americans are throwing good money after bad, or are they not getting the full story? Are they in some fashion ignorant?
So, John, U.S. markets have always been first market, first world on tech. Europe, for many decades, kind of held their own as a close second. But the innovation in Europe is dying. The private equity, the investment structures, the risk taking in Europe was always lesser than the U.S. Now it's orders of magnitude less in these areas. As it goes to AI and really advanced compute, you just do not see the same infrastructure, the same push. And I think that's a huge, huge tactical mistake within European governments not putting a greater focus on it, because this AI wave will further integrate to robotics and automation waves that will transform economies in Europe to a great extent. We'll be sitting on the sidelines buying American or Chinese products rather than building their own.
100-hour week, says the Wall Street Journal. That's what young people are working in Silicon Valley. Yes, they're well paid, but what are they going to do with their money when they're going back midnight to midnight with 2 hours off on the weekends or whatever the boast is these days? Chris Riegel, CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey, guys. Have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.